Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me on Sundays here on KWAI 1080 AM from 8 to 10 AM, where we will discuss waste, fraud, and abuse in government, the environment, and some lighthearted subjects, and other issues you might have. That's Sundays, 8 AM to 10 AM, here on KWAI 1080 AM.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show from last week. We're here to sit and talk and raise some cane. Happy Father's Day, everybody. That's why I played that for you. And I don't know who's out there as a father. But anyway, happy Father's Day. Also, what is going on here is I was going to talk about the border water supply, and I have many questions. And the reason I'm focused, and we've talked about this some while now, but what I want to do is talk about it in that I'm each day I'm learning that there are senior citizens out there that are really getting the short end of the stick. Some of them have automatic pay, and what's happening is that they are, for some reason, their monies are directly drawn by the border water supply at direct payments, and they have estimates, and some of them are overcharged, and other people are actually being double charged in a sense that one lady I spoke with out in Waianae, she actually received a bill that was high and complained that her meter was not working and what have you. So they come, they fix it, and then shortly thereafter they go back to estimating the bills. So if you are out there and you have this problem, please feel free to call me, 524-1080. I'm interested in, and I want to hear what's really going on because there's a lot of problems, lots. And if you've had the occasion to call the customer service, you'll experience just how important you are, how unimportant you are to these people. It's about money, it's about power, and it's about ripping you off. That's what it is. It's being a semi-autonomous agency. If you think that you approach in a democratic process where what they sell you is what you pay for, or however you want to phrase it, you're not getting your money's worth. And it is just wrong. So 524-1080 if you'd like to call in and talk about it and share your thoughts and share your experience, because I'm on this like a duck on a June bug. I see something going on here, and we're going to talk in depth about it. And just starting off, I want to share with you, there's a border water supply board, so to speak, commission, border water supply members. There's a gentleman, Mr. Wong, and I'm going to lay this out. Now, if this is your nephew, a cousin, a brother, shame on me for talking about them in this vein. But the reality is we need trust in government. We need good government. And when government steps that line and start to divest you of your rights or strip you of your dollars, hard-earned dollars, I should say, and limited in this day and time, we need some answers. So the board is consisting of seven people. And one is Glenn Okimoto. You heard of him. He's the ex officio board member, and he heads the Department of Transportation. Now, you and I know just how efficient the Department of Transportation is, right? They get glowing and glaring examples of success and very little mismanagement or no mismanagement. None of their employees have gone to jail or been fined for stealing from the people. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here lying, and it's Sunday morning. I back up. Let me correct that. That's exactly the opposite. There have been people that have been stealing, mismanaging the Department of Transportation, yet he sits on by the, I guess, the statute of the city or the rules of the city commission is that one of those ex officio people is Glenn Okimoto. And I'm raising this issue because what we're doing, we're recycling people. So if he's running the Department of Transportation and it's chaotic and many examples of failure and ripoffs and thefts and poor planning, and we can't, our highways, if you look at them. So he's now part of the Board of Water Supply Board. Then we have Kaulana H.R. Park. And he's the newest appointee to the Board of Water Supply Directors. He officially joined the board in 2012 of September. Park currently works for Ryder Levitt Bucknell, and leading property and a leading property and construction consultant company as senior project manager. Previously, he was the chairman of the Hawaiian Homes Commission and director of the Department of Hawaiian Home Land, where he was responsible for leading the department to become a master plan community development. See, this is what happens when we become wordsmith and we get someone to write good things about us, you know. Kaulana Park headed the commission, Hawaiian Homelands Commission, and he also was a Department of DHHL, Hawaiian Homeland. My question is, with the recent exposés that I've done and the other papers and Civil Beat and all exposing the shortcomings and the frailty, the inconsistency with good management. So he is making decisions on your water bills and how the Department of Board of Water Supply is run. So I don't see anything that great coming out of the Hawaiian homelands that would have warranted appointing this guy to this position. So that's the two of them, and then and again now I'll see these people on the streets and shake their hands, and but the reality is we're getting stiff, folks. You, me, and everyone else, we're being charged for water that we don't use. And then keep in mind now, you're not just being charged for water and estimated bills that we don't know, and we're going to talk in greater details of how did we arrive at estimates or asking questions, how did we arrive. But the reality is this money that you're paying goes to a system where they had one system, the automatic meter readers, and they got rid of that because it was not working. Then they went to CCB, and they're still the CCB started to identify problems with the AMR that had existed. And what I've been told and what I've read about the CCB, quite efficient in detecting problems. So anyway, but to see that Kaulana Park is on that board, I scratch my head and ask, what did he bring to the table? Inefficiency? Or just go along if there's a need to raise rates? They just needed someone to do their bidding and represent them as a bona fide board? Then they have Mahealani. Lani Cipher has served as a board member since 2011, currently an active community leader. She also owns Native Knowledge LLC, offering consultation on Native Hawaiian issues, historic preservation, and Hawaiian properties and planning, perspectives in planning and conservation. She was employed as a city clerk and county of Honolulu in 2003 to 2008. Prior to that, she worked in the Board of Water Supply's Community Relations Office from 1981 to 2003, serving as Chief Community Relations from 1990 to 2003. Again, do you see or hear any infusion of brilliancy, or are we just seeing the recycle of nepotism? You wouldn't take an old piece of metal and put it in a new airplane, would you? I mean, you would just wouldn't do that. Then we have Teresa McMurdo. She began her association with the board as a member in 2010, February. Now, Teresa, very nice lady and a person, really nice person. But I'm wondering, she was part of the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce. And I point these things out not to give the responsibility to each individual, but as a group, as collectively, what and why are we selecting them? What are the reasons? So I look back and I understand a couple things. We remember Nestor Garcia, the chairman of the city council, Honolulu City Council, and also council member. And we had these revelations, and we found that he got fined by Chuck Tuttle, the Ethics Commission. He was serving as executive director or secretary or some title, I don't have it in front of me right now, for the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce. Now, Teresa McMurdo sat on that board, too. Let me ask you, am I asking too much or expecting too much that the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce should have, they should have known that Nestor Garcia was being paid and while serving as a city council. And they knew that because on many occasions, matters that were, they were interested in, he would disclose that he had a conflict of interest. But again, when they find out that he didn't disclose his salary and what have you, shouldn't they, just from an ethical standpoint, am I asking too much, shouldn't they have asked him to resign, not only that he be penalized by the city ethics office, but what kind of people are we dealing with, and how do they find their way or navigate, or who invites them with these types of ethics or oversight or what have you? Who invites them aboard? Is it Luffy Hanneman? Is it Peter Carlisle? Is it Caldwell? 2010, who was the chief managing director? And what we got to understand something about the Board of Water Supply is this. The Board of Water Supply is semi-autonomous. So in other words, they get to do play between the lines. And as a friend described it, they get to play between the sheets with their friends and their fraternizing with one another and handing money off. But remember Wayne Hashiro appointed, he was the managing director of the city, and then he got in some trouble when he went to New Orleans, and acted up down there, or whatever it is, once again, the public wasn't privy to what it was that he was let go. But in being letting go, he found himself at the Board of Water Supply. So let's look at that entire process and this behavior that they're presenting to us, this administration, the older administrations. So as we walk down this lane talking about water and the abuses that you as the ratepayer or the homeowner or person paying the bill, let's say to ourselves, and remind ourselves, pinch yourself for a moment, that whenever Mufi Hanneman shows up in the capacity of a candidate, I would turn my back on him personally. He does not belong in our government. Because it seems that everything, remember he took money from one funding source and was going to help the sewers and was going to he fought the EPA and all of that, and then now the sewer bills went up, if you recall. And yet, when they estimate, the Board of Water Supply estimate, and if you're not using but 10,000 gallons, but they estimate you use 15,000, you're paying for an extra 5,000 gallons that's going down your sewer. No one is paying attention to that. So you're getting shot in the back and in the face by the crooks, so to speak. They put a gun to your face, and as you walk away empty-handed, they put a gun to your back and say, well, we hear a few nickels and dimes rattling in your pocket. Give us that, too. And that's basically, I know that's a real simplicity, a simple way of looking at it, but I'm trying to illustrate to you that this agency, the Board of Water Supply, it's time to rethink and revisit their entire structure. Do we need them? Do we want them? We have to do something about it, really. And it's getting really, before it get better, unless you, and what can you do about this? You can actually call your city council, because you see the city council is the one who approves these people. No matter who appoints them, it is the city council who approves them. So you still have control. So if you really want to, if you're having problems getting response from the customer service office, and I've tried to call them, and let me tell you, it's rather difficult. But you can, rather than wait, for those of you that think that you haven't had a problem and everything is going fine, no problem, but just be forewarned, you're the next candidate. Because the system relies on what it appears to me, this system relies on estimates so that they can rip you off. And then if you're being billed, for example, you were being billed once every 2 months. Now they're going to estimate your bill every month. So you're getting ripped off twice or six times more than you were being ripped off. Six and six is 12. If you add that up, that constitutes some people out there can't afford another $10 raise because it disrupts their entire budget. They retired or they have medical problems that have put them in a pinch. And imagine having your water and services shut off because you didn't use much water. It's just that you couldn't pay the estimated amount. Or you were wrongfully being charged for something you never used. So this board of, there's an article that I wrote in the Star Advertiser in the editorial section today. It's, and if you want to see some of my comments there, go there. It's to this morning's paper in the editorial section. Basically, spelling it out. What I'm telling you here, but I'll go in greater details, but I'm appreciative that they, it was a response to Mr. Lum, Clifford Lum's response or article that he wrote last week. I'm watching out for you, but I can only do so much, and the rest is left up to you, so if this comes in the form of entertainment and you like turning the radio on and you hear this and that's sufficient, then don't worry, just keep paying. But if you're just absolutely pissed off and tired, sick and tired, then I would suggest you call your council members and tell them enough is enough is enough. So there are some of you that don't have computers, and I understand. It took me 20 years too to get used to a computer because I thought it would bite you. Or think for you, you know, or you type something and you send it, hit the button, send it, send words that you didn't put in there, you know. That's what I thought, but in reality, you only get what. But remember, you still have the post office. You can write a letter. You can also pick up the phone and use a rotary dial phone for some of you out there and call your city council. Call the mayor. Tell him you want an audit. You need an audit. Don't wait until you penetrate the barrier of the customer service, because the customer service, for example, Susan Uesugi, getting her name right, she was part of the program that implemented, she was there when they did the AMR. She was there when they transferred to the CCB. Now she is the customer service. So in other words, Ms. Fox gets to watch now the hen house for the rest of the fox that are in her pack. And that's what it is. There is cover-up there with the American Water Association. Cover-up, more cover-up. And they want you to believe. Let me just give you a little. I printed something off that strikes me as they come across as being honest and giving you lots of information. But I have never seen a collection of thieves in my life as I've seen within this city agency. I don't know what the autonomous part of it is because, you see, they got privacy. I don't know that. So I'm speaking from their governmental standpoint. Here, something they talked about, water main breaks. And follow the logics here. Water main breaks are an unfortunate but unavoidable factor in this water utility industry. No water utility is free of main breaks. The Honolulu Board of Water Supply works diligently to reduce the amount of breaks that happen every year. with more than 2,000 miles of pipe across the island of Oahu, this is a large undertaking. Well, we know that. That's why we hired you and paid you all this money, stupid. Don't tell me how difficult it is. That's why you were hired. If you can't do it, if you thought it was such a task, then step down and let us go look for someone else that would see this as a Manini problem, because they think, and they think about the customer. If you don't incorporate the customer's needs and the accuracy in billings, then you would be inclined to make some stupid statement like that. According to the American Water Works Association, water utilities nationwide should strive to roughly 25 to 30 breaks per 100 miles of pipeline. What does that mean? If you're in an isolated area in a desert, yeah, let's talk stupidity. But if you're in Aina Haina and the break occurs at traffic, the high peaking traffic time, and it impacts traffic, what is the downside of that? Why don't the American Works say, per 100 miles, we will tolerate $6 billion loss in an economy and people can't get to school and the ambulances can't make it there in time and what have you? Let's gauge it by that, not by this simple-minded, according to American Water Works Association, water utilities nationwide should strive roughly to 25 to 30 breaks per 100 miles of pipeline. Let me give you a little footnote here. You see, they talk as if the American Water Works Association is an independent source, but many of these people that work for the Board of Water Supply are members. As I've reported, Usugi's relationship with that. In fact, they were here in town, and she just went on a trip to a meeting. So they talk as though they're separate, but they're members of it. So in other words, we get to lie to you, we get to steal your money, and then we get to come back and give you some lame explanation as the American Water Works 25 to 30 breaks per. Yeah, well, tell the people in Hawaii Kai that were on their way just a week ago. Tell the people at McCulley. Stand down there, Board of Water Supply, Chief Engineer. Stand down there and with the sign and a bullhorn telling them that and reminding them that it's okay to have 25 to 30 breaks per 100 miles. Which 100 miles, sir? So when people present to you stupid explanations and then turn around and jack your prices up and raise your bills up and say, but what we're going to need is more money to buy another system to go with the other system that went with the other system, but we never justified the acquisition of any system. So between 2000 and 2006, Board of Water Supply had an average of 384 breaks or 192 breaks. Or I'm sorry, back up, 19.2 breaks per 100 miles of pipeline. Can anybody out there call me and let me know, does that matter to them if it's 100 miles or 1 mile? What is the financial burden? What is the social impact of this? And I have to add, so if this is all acceptable, then why are we asking for more money? Just if breaks are acceptable and we know they're within the limit of a 25 to 30, why are they wanting more millions? If it's accepted that this is a general number across the nation, if the professionals say this is okay, why are we taxing the taxpayer or the ratepayer with this? So between this, in fact, the Board of Water Supply has seen continual decrease since 1990s, and the Board of BWS remains committed to continuing this positive trend. Ouch. Well, I guess when to the controller, whoever writes it gets to say whatever they want to. Why do breaks occur? Main breaks can occur for many reasons. Aside from people accidentally hitting our mains, a primary reason for main failure is the age of our mains. BWS has been installing water mains since its creation. I apologize. This they can't even write here. It should be more. It's ORE or than 75. This throughout this little document that I'm reading is that. So that's what goes your money. I guess they just drove by and asked some kids if they could write it for them. Additionally, there are many factors that can accelerate deterioration, including corrosive soil conditions, an increase of or decrease in water pressure, ground movement, stray electrical currents. Well, we know all of that, and the pressure, well, they need to possibly do regulators. We reported way back here on water main breaks and pipe breaks and what have you, and some have alleged that when the firemen test or check or use the fire hydrants, that creates a problem because the volcanic soil that we have, the corrosive aspect of the soil against the metals, then don't just wait until they break. Get out there and have an aggressive process to remove and replace. But I guess the problem would be if your mayor and every other person that is involved trying to build your train, you wouldn't have time to think about the drain. You just, all you do there is just tell them pay more money. Can you imagine this scenario? Mr. Hanneman, we need some money over here. The pipes are breaking, man. It's flooding. Well, you know, look, I'm too busy. I got to get this train. You know, there's a train coming, man. I ain't got time. But what do you need to do? We need more money. Oh, okay. Oh, hell. Just go ahead and raise the rates. I'll call the city council. Half of them are bought off anyway. Don't worry about it. I'll twist their arm because they won't, you know. Well, who do we see? Nestor. Go see Nestor. He's good. And if Nestor isn't there, see Ernie. Ernie, they'll do anything for money. You see? That's how the game works. That's how you and I end up paying double now for our water bills and our electric bills. Because the people that are there to represent and make good decisions are representing themselves and their special interests. They can have jobs. They can go to college and get a law degree while serving under the Hanneman administration to get a law degree and then now turn around and become the chairman of the city council. And now there's this great debate about grants and loans and funds. Hey, let's get it right now. You voted them in. I enjoy writing about it and, you know, reminding myself that I'm getting older and struggling to write something and trying to coordinate. But the reality is you voted them in, so I have to lay some of the ownership in your lap. So when Ernie Martin stands there and talks crazy and has one hand behind the back, just remember, you voted them in, and if it's okay, then continue to vote them in, and then I can stop this conversation, go and talk about fishing or something, chasing butterfly, who knows. But if you're serious about this thing and it's taxing you financially, then you need to do something, and you don't need to wait. Call these guys. Call the city council. Ask them to, when they're appointing board members, approving board members. Tell the mayor, we don't need people from Hawaiian Homelands and Hawaiian Homelands Commission that because we don't see any exemplary behavior and management there. I mean, as I've said to you, look at what happened. So 524-1080, if you'd like to call in and have your comments. And again, even if you know a guy out there who's a good dad or a bad dad and you want to say hello to him, I'll let you do that on today's show. You can call in 524-1080. No, it's not that I got nothing to talk about. Now, you know, that would be completely I didn't run out of words, but it's just a kindness I want to share today with you. And so anyway, it's a good day for Father's Day. We celebrate Mother's Day. And as one friend says, well, yeah, Father's Day, Mother's Day, and all those days is good for the industry. They make money, cards, flowers, shirts, golf clubs. So, but keep it going, you know. But anyway, that's what's going on with that. And here's I'm going to walk through some of this and being with great specifics on Board of Water Supply. the managers want us to look for. This is some of the things that I've made notes to myself and with the assistance of others. Boda Water Supply Manager wants us to look forward at some new system. They then will at some point acknowledge how screwed up the current system is and look for a justification to get more new money out of us. It would be relevant for the public to know what happened, when and by whom and what was being proposed, but they don't tell you that. In order for the public to consider any future expenditure, given the recent deceptions and waffling public statements by Boda Water Supply first independently, the public has a right to know, how bad was it? See, we have no way of knowing what is broken, how badly broken it is, because we don't know if it was ever fixed. And we don't know what they've gone out and purchased, because they hire their friends and appoint their friends. And this brings me to another concern, and some of you may not find this palatable or won't own up to it, and it's like throwing fuel on fire. But I'm getting words back that if you're a white person or a person from the outside to get in, the Board of Water Supply has a strict policy on discrimination. Some of them have even spoke about racism within. Can you believe that? So I'm going to be making a request with the Board of Water Supply and asking to see what is their makeup of the representation of people, and it should be provided. But I'm shocked that this would happen. And as one person said, if you are Caucasian and you get hired, here's what happened. Hard to get in, but easy to get out. They will work you over. I don't know these things specifically, but if that's true, and you look at the makeup of the system here and who's hired, we need to ask some questions. So, got some calls here. We'll open it up. Good morning, caller. How are you? Got a comment, a question? A happy father.
In Kakaako, how are they going to feed all those new apartments with water? Man, that must take some gallons.
Yeah, I agree with you. Isn't that funny?
Ooh, man.
Yeah, isn't okay. That funny? All right, thank you.
Aloha. Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question, or a happy father?
Happy Father's Day to you, too, Carol. Listen, you had a very good article, editorial in the... And I want to give you compliments on that, and I'm even surprised they put it in there. You know, I guess you heard the Honolulu Weekly has gone out of business, which is quite sad because that was the one place where you had an alternative voices on transparency. I always loved to say what you told me that one time. Say transparency, transparency, transparency.
Yeah.
That's what's important. And then funny things don't happen when it's all out in the open, you know. It can't happen.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. And transparency, while we can play armchair quarterback or Monday morning quarterback, but here's the problem. When an agency failed to be transparent and force-feed you their program, you should become worried. This Boda Water Supply, they're very tricky. Here's some of the allegations that I, through my interviews out there with some of the employees and others, engineers. So when they have a problem, for example, if I wrote an article or you wrote an article or raise an issue, they run back to their friends, the experts in the American Water Works, and get them to give a statement, a formal statement, addressing specifically your allegations or concerns. You follow?
Right.
They got this thing so well planned.
Oh, my.
We can't redefine them. We can't rework them, I can tell you. But we can simplify it by holding Caldwell's feet to the fire, keeping Mufi Hanneman out of government again, and letting people like Nestor Garcia and Ernie Martin know that they, too, can get food stamps if they keep behaving this way. It's that simple, you know. And
well, yeah, you know, and that's, you know, the funny thing is, I'm on my the case with Mr. Kippen now, and he's trying to avoid me like a plague. Voicemails never get returned. The letters don't get answered. And I even go up to his office, and they say, "Well, he's busy right now." Or he'll say, "Oh, he's in a he has to go to a meeting real soon." I mean, there's always excuses. And when they do things like that, they're absolutely revealing that they don't want to hear anything else except what they have decided was good for you. So
you mentioned that name. I some people some people are political and. But, you know, it's so difficult for me to look at Colin Kippen in the capacity of a homeless advocate because I've had great respect for him. And I've dealt with him in the past. But sometimes I have this queasy feeling in stomach because what I have observed and what I talk to many a homeless people or the less fortunate or whatever you classify them as, when they reach out to Colin Kippen, he's not there. But in recent times, Colin Kippen had no problem coming to meetings to defend the Veterans Administration, to defend the U.S. vets. So, in other words, I had said he's a bully, and I still stand on that. And it's contrary to what I had grown to know about Colin Kippen. But I'm eager to say what I say because I've observed him, and when people attempt to approach his office. And then remember now, this is the same Colin Kippen who was going to be party to taking money from Hawaiian Homelands to hire Michelle Kauhani under the governor as they were proposing, which would have been improper. So when one lends himself to all of these activities and then the people that his office is designed for can't meet with him, can't respond to him, then what is his role?
Well, yeah, that's it. Well, what is his role is a PR person for the governor saying, "Oh yeah, we're doing everything we can for the homeless."
Be careful now. That is probably an accurate description because it's poor relationship. That's what his PR office means. Poor relationship with the homeless community, and he needs to own up to. I don't know they may have a master plan, but I can tell you what. People shouldn't have to suffer with the daily activities or being harassed in shelters, being evicted out of shelters, being punished and what have you, and threatened and arrested. You understand, while he's doing what?
Yeah, right. And I'm still waiting for him to tell me what are the solutions, what are the programs you got going that's really going to solve this problem and still keep it going on and on and on and on.
Keep in mind, it's not what Colin Kippen we should ask, what plans did he have.
Yeah.
And remind yourself, the guy that appointed him is who we want to know.
Neil Abercrombie.
Ask him.
Exactly.
What plans does he have? And he's going to scratch his head because he's going to lose more hair in the process doing it. You know why? Because he has no plan. It's all about Neil and himself and the other Democrats who sit around and vote him in because they got good jobs and their kids, like a sparrow, is there able to work and run the facility. You're not going to get past it. We need to get over these folks. We're giving them too much respect. We need to start pounding the table and say to them.
I'm determined. I'm going to get in his face, just like I did to the Mark Alexander, until he comes and meets with us folks, the people, the consumers, the people that are homeless. And if he doesn't, I will get in his face one way or another. That's what we did with Mark Alexander, and of course, then he resigned about a month later.
My toes curl when I hear an official say, "You folk," or "I understand you people," because when I was chopping cotton and we were standing there saying, "We just can't do this for $3 a day, brother," and the lightning and the snakes, and we can't do that. And then, well, I understand what your people are talking about. Well, I don't know, having to chop cotton is worse or having to hear him referred to as you people.
Were you?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that tells me that, well, your people, we've already been immediately reduced from not humans. Or we're not part of his class.
Well, you know, one of the things he will say to you, he'll say, this homeless thing is really complex. Actually, that's code words for saying, well, it's too complex to do anything about it. And you know, I just can't. It's too complex for me. I can't do anything about it.
I heard a young man the other day say something that was profound, and he said that the homeless issue is not a problem. It's just a simple challenge like any other challenge when things develop that we overlook. He described it as a challenge. Challenges are more manageable. And I went away with that, and I'm thinking, wow. We're chasing our tails, and here's a young man who's able to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I hear that all the time from folks that, hey, folks that are feeling the pain, okay?
Yeah.
When you feel the pain, you know exactly what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
all right. You take care.
All righty. Well, hey, that train, I noticed they're going to have a couple more seats, so you don't have to complain.
For wheelchairs, do you remember wheelchairs? Oh, no, we can't accommodate wheelchairs.
You know what's really funny? The biggest ripoff that I think is going out. So they have Hart and they have it fully staffed, huh?
Right.
So what are they doing in the meantime before the train arrives? what are they doing? And I understand that our friend Frank Doyle, who used to head the Environmental Services, who were handed that job by Mufi Hanneman's office to work for Hart, is out courting Japanese visitors to landfills and what have you. I didn't know they had the train was going to the landfills.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway. Okay, well, thank you. I got another call here.
Yeah.
Next hour, you can call back. It's going to be loose and free.
Sure.
All righty.
You take care, huh?
Bye.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Thank you very much for taking my call. Congratulations on the newspaper this morning. Had no idea that they would ever allow you exposure. You are magnificent.
But don't get carried away now. It was just a few words. We still got work to do.
I follow this very. They closed the weekly. I followed this for 6 years and. They're in an existential crisis. They need money, and they'll take money from wherever they can to keep the newspaper going.
Mm-hmm.
The whole problem is singularly management. And if you follow any kind of quality management, the customers come first. That's not the case in every entity we're talking about. Quality service means zero defect. They go by the Murphy Law. What will go wrong will go wrong. You do it right the first time. And if you are in the middle of a process, you try to do it right at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, on the next hour, call back. We can do a lot more chatting. And I really want to hammer this one out today because when there's crooks in the like bats in the belfry, we want to ring the bell and at least keep them awake and
they'll
be tired.
You're being nice to the bats. I've got the Divine Comedy in mind.
Well, you got to laugh at it, you know.
Yeah, the rings of hell are.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'll call back.
All righty, Richard.
Bye.
Aloha. Hey, well, we're going to take a break here and then.
Hopefully we can get, I have a friend here, Mr. Gerald Tate, and we're going to try to talk him into coming and having a show on our station, but we don't know yet. Anyway, he's watching, looking over my shoulders to see if I'm doing it right, if he wanted to duplicate this process. But anyway, we'll be back shortly. Give you a little bit of Hippieville here.
Ashamed to say. About coming into L.A.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
All righty, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. This is a beautiful day, and always just wishing you would be here to, for those of you listening on the Internet, and I'm astounded at the number of people abroad that are listening. Just got a call from someone in Chicago and then New York, and they love to hear the show. And hopefully we'll be working it up so we'll have it broadcast live, streaming over the Internet here soon. But anyway, promises, promises, promises. I know I've been saying this for a long time, but we'll get there. Anyway, we were talking about bottled water supply, and I invite any of you out there to call in, and I'm just astounded that no one has a father that they want to give credit to over the air. Is there something wrong? But anyway, feel free to call in, and it's always nice to give appreciation. And unfortunately, for the family out there in Y and I near the Makaha area, really sorry to hear that, but again, it's funny. I'm going to talk to you about Y and I in the coming week or so. I'm going to invite some people from out there. And, hey, guys, Y and I is happening. That entire coast, some of the most beautiful people that you can, they strive to have good life, quality life. And as one of them said, yeah, we've gotten the negative image placed on us, but we don't worry about that. I won't tell you about the Sea Rider program, where there's children in high school producing professional videos for companies, individuals who build million-dollar companies that went to that facility. And then let me tell you a little story about, I was out kayaking the other day, and my door opened in my car, and I had in my coffee holder a couple of dollar bills and 20s, and they blew out, and car was pulling up, and guy got out, picked up the money, pulled down and parked, and I just walked over to him and chatted to him. He goes, oh, was that yours? Wow, bro, here. Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm glad I found it for you. Here you go. So, no, it didn't end up in a fight like you want to portray the people out there in Waianae. I know it wasn't. There are more honest people there than I found in Waikiki. I won't go to Waikiki to do anything, believe it or not, because first of all, I'm going to get ripped off and sold an alligator skin purse for $8,000, which I don't need because I can't afford the dress to go with it. So, you know, number one. Number two, I turn the corner. Somebody's trying to offer me a good time for $50. I don't get that in Waianae. Nobody's trying to sell me drugs there. And I know they do drugs out there in Waianae. So I'm going to do some stories on that. And we're going to talk about the sweet Makaha mango and those people and how wonderful they are. So the people in Waianae are just as intelligent, educated, motivated, and the joy of it is they still linger and cling on to their culture. You may not know it, but you're missing the boat. If you think Waianae Coast is all bad, as you've been told, you've cheated yourself. Having said that, stay tuned in the coming weeks, and we're going to show you some spectacular people, some beautiful people, and that's my goal. All righty? So, and in fact, I would rather go to Waianae at midnight than to go to the city council at any time. What does that tell you? So, you do the equation. Caller, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show.
Thank you very much. I'll speak directly to what we're talking about in terms of the Water Department Disclosure of Interest Statement, February 29th, 2012, Resolution 1225. I'm looking at the actual document. Charter Amendment reading to the Board of Water Supply, and this is Nestor Garcia. It has been brought to my, Nestor Garcia's, attention that a member of the Water Supply is also a member of the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce. in an overabundance of caution, I disclose that I, Nestor Garcia, serve as executive director of the Coppola Chamber of Commerce.
But he didn't declare how much he get paid.
In the newspaper article, and I don't have that in front of me, the amount of money that he received from the Filipino Chamber of Commerce and the Coppola Chamber of Commerce and one or two other private entities, they did disclose how much money he was getting.
Yeah, but I mean in that resolution.
No.
Yeah, let's keep these horses separate now because we... You know, he did not disclose it in that resolution, and I think that in a caution of abundance, with whatever that, he loves to use that. It's so eloquent. You know, a thief is a thief is a thief.
Right? Machiavelli.
Machiavelli.
Thank you very much.
Anything you got? There was another caller, but I guess we hit their subject or hit their point. But call back if you come up with something.
No, I could mention something about Nestor Garcia.
Okay.
Well, I went and got from the city clerk all the documents and all the city council. And let's say I have... 100 items for all 9 council members. For Nestor, I have 194 disclosures of interest statements.
Mm-hmm.
And he was responsible for trying to eliminate Olelo at the city council live because of economics. He felt it would be good. The taxpayers don't want to be double taxed.
Right.
He wanted to raise, in other words, what has this got to do with the water supply? Everything.
Yeah.
Because
Teresa McMurdo, who was there, so this is what we need to start to explore. Who are all of these people? Not to question the individual, but who are these people that are being used to facilitate the thieves in government's role, their success? You know, we talk about the Heli Manu and the ORI and all of that. They're big issues. They got many explanations now. Well, you know, but the problem was in the initial stages, when you can get a loan, you pay back the loan. You don't convert it to a grant. And that's the issue I raised with the Leawood Benefit Package as community benefit package grants, too. The same thing. Instead of going to the city council and asking for a resolution demanding repayment and prosecution at the prosecutor's office, what they did was to say that we'll allow the funds, the remainder of the grant, to lapse, and therefore you couldn't account for the original expenditures. So this is Ernie Martin's way and Mufi Hanneman's and Nestor Garcia's and the rest of the council members. And this new person, Kimberly Pine, by the way, she doesn't respect the Uniform Information Practices Act law, OIP. I actually sent documents, requests to her, and she's refused to even acknowledge receipt of them. So we got some news for her soon. But anyway...
At the last budget committee, the most recent one, there were only 8 members, and she did not attend.
Yeah, well, she was probably out fighting the gay issues. And,
well,
you know, that's Kimberly Klein, or probably somewhere... recruiting people to vote for her.
It was health. She had a health problem.
Yeah, right. Mental, maybe.
Well,
but anyway.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
Bye.
Thank you. Aloha.
Okay, we're back. Caller, if you keep calling in and you're hanging up, I don't know what to tell you if you want to participate. Got to hold on. Anyway, going back to this Board of Water Supply, these are things that I've, as I say, composed. And what we want to do is we want some way of first ask for the records from Board of Water Supply. We're going to, hopefully there are lawyers out there, and I think there may be a few that are interested in this, maybe a class action lawsuit. Maybe I'm sounding a horn and bragging, but I guess out of desperation you'll say anything. But that's my hopes. And we're hopefully going to ask the federal government to, because I think there's some serious fraud here. You just can't increase fees and then double up on them and screw them in the front door, the back door, and what have you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Oh, what up, Carol Cox?
What's happening, man? How are you doing? What you got for water? Any comments on the water sources?
Yeah.
What you got? Shoot right quick.
Oh, well, I mean, how much water does the Board of Water Supply need? You know.
Well, yeah, and how much money do they need?
Yeah, how much money do they need to, like, get their water and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, those are some of the questions, or one of the questions we want to ask. What do they need? What monies do they need? And then can they just simply, without hearings or going to the public for a comment or anything, just raise the prices because they bought a new system and that system was found to be not successfully operating and then functioning properly, so they buy another system. And then now they want to buy another system. So something's wrong with that picture, right?
Yeah, they just want to keep buying, like, water systems and stuff.
Yeah.
Why can't they just keep the water system they have?
Well, we're going to try to find that out, and we'll see what happened, all right?
Oh, okay.
Okay, aloha, and thank you. All right.
Take care, bro.
Anyway, so good questions. What are they doing? But here are some of the questions regarding the CC&B billing practices. Computer estimated billing. That is the main problem that I see. The authorization to computer estimates to estimate a water bill in place of billing based upon actual read. What's wrong with doing actual read if you spend millions to put in a system that would give you an accurate read? The specific rule is what we want to know, whether it was by the City Council, the Board of Water Supply, the Public Utilities Commission, who decided that these estimates could continually be used, and who decided what equation. I'm sure they're going to tell you the American Water Works does it in Selma, Alabama, or some little podunk town, so therefore they find it okay per 100 miles or per 100 houses, some stupid stuff. But the reality is money, and that figure doesn't change no matter how you present it. The specific rule, when it was enacted, we really don't know when this all was enacted, believe it or not. They're not clear about that. Who enacted this computer estimate situation? By what means was it enacted? Who enforces the permissibility of the said rule? How do we know, other than calling up the customer services and hoping you can get in, like winning the Powerball gambling lotto, you might get in. Or you go down there, and if you dare speak cross-eyed at them or raise your voice, there's a security guard to escort you out. So we need to see, and we want to see the documents and names of who made this computer estimate, the practice of the day. Documents will go to the ability. Names will show individuals as advocates, administrators, or potential beneficiaries. We want to know what they get paid, their bonuses, their post-retirement things. And I think we'll find that a great many of the people that install these systems and knew they didn't work have returned to the scene of the crime to implement more active criminal behavior and diverting monies. And somewhere down the line, we need to look and do an audit to figure out how much money is crossing the street to the city hall for the mayor. Because is this used part of his budget? Because are some of these people, as we've shown in the past, are being used politically for campaigns? So are we paying for something we don't think we're getting? We want to look at the hiring. We want to look at what is the political agenda. Some of these advocates that are advocating for Board of Water Supply and some of the rules, political. You see, Kapolei Chamber of Commerce supports the rail. What political connections does that have by implementing and appointing McMurdo? As we found out recently, someone for DPP in that area, while talking to them, tell us that Maida Timpson, I think it was her group, was Go Rail Grow with... I may have named the wrong name, but it's related to the pro-rail group with Alicia Malua-Fiti. She's now, the word is that I was told, and I haven't substantiated this, but she made attempts and is going to retire from the First Hawaiian Bank and then become employed or contract in the finance department as an for the that's going to be doing something for DPP. I'm still investigating and reviewing it, but I'm going to take the time and ask, but what's going on here? So specifically, the public would like to know under what circumstances the Board of Water Supply is authorized to initiate computer estimates. Bill in place of the widely believed perception of public that their bills are based upon actual regularly read physical or electronic actual observations during the billing cycle reads. So something isn't working here. They say they have leak inspectors who go out and check, but what is really happening is the leak inspectors, there's only maybe 2 to 4, maybe, I'm stretching it. How can you have so few and responding to leaks, and you're also having so many electronic computer estimated bills? Something's not matching up. So because the computer estimates appear on a large percentage of the Board of Water Supply bills, now monthly and formerly bi-monthly bills, what gives the Board of Water Supply the legal right to repeatedly use computer estimates as a method of to replace adequate staffing, to replace defective hardware in a timely way? So in other words, they're cutting staff and relying on a computer estimates, and we don't know the equation, and we don't know who authorized it, and we don't know when it was authorized, and we don't know who make an assessment to see if it's efficient and effective and fair to the ratepayer. How many residential bills go out during each billing cycle? Now monthly, and then previously every 60 days, as you recall. How many commercial bills go out during each billing cycle? Same as the 6 to 30-day question. From 2000, how many, and we want a specific number, residential bills have been computer estimates separated by commercial and residential bills? We attempted to ask that some months ago, and they gave us some hogwash, but I guess that's what you do when you, with the Board of Water Supply, you got a game going on. Assuming that the Board of Water Supply has publicly said computer estimates are only used for for very limited time and solely as a result of an unforeseen circumstance, as is nationally, there you go again, the acknowledged practice. How many of the above computer estimates appeared multiple times, more than twice, since the AMR systems was brought online in approximately 2000? Now, you try and tell the senior citizen who's on a fixed income or a family who is just barely making it if all of this matters to them. So what we're asking in this process, we're going to ask is from an administrative fiscal point of view, if computer estimates were too low, we want to know how much money for upgrades and repairs the Board of Water Supply lost because of meters were offline. How much were ratepayers overcharged by potentially inaccurate bills where they are possibly entitled to a refund? Potential liability to the public and the ratepayers. What is the specific legal position of Board of Water Supply with regards to the collection of additional revenues months and years after the specific bill in question was issued and satisfied? Due to the Board of Water Supply computer estimates now being balanced with the property meter resulting from the equipment repairs, is there any notification issued to the ratepayer that due to a computer estimate, the ratepayer may be assessed more money in 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, 1 year, or 2 years? These are important questions I believe we need to have answered.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi, Carol. Do you know the Board of Water Supply has any kind of program for, like, the poor and the elderly to pay their bills? I mean, you know, just and instead of them cutting out their water, I guess not, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I've just become familiar with this Board of Water Supply in the last year and a half. It's looking closely at them, but
I would think that would be very important to a lot of people, and you know, maybe
Well, yeah. I do know that people that are strapped for cash or low income or living on government assistance, I see some of them scrambling to run to the water department to pay their bill, like the guy with millions. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, so they get their water cut off and they can't have water. I mean,
and the basic element of life. But then again, what is life now to the average human being in this system that we call successful, a social, I don't know what it is, a community, whatever. But okay, but anyway, these are some of the things. So, for example, you may heard me talk, we're asking these kinds of questions, and we're going to submit this letter, and this entire letter will be posted at carolcox.com.
Oh, okay.
Check that out and see what we, if you have any more insight, because I'm just scratching at this. I don't really know.
Yeah.
This is it's a government agency, and it's not a government agency, so they tell you what they want you to know, and then, so. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's hope we can find out a little what's happening here. You know?
We're going to keep rattling the can, maybe.
Yeah.
All righty. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
So here we are.
So on one hand, if Board of Water Supply was mismanaging its labor and maintenance to such an extent that it looked better on the books to continue the revenue stream by inserting computer estimates in place of actual repairs or properly verifiable reads in a timely way, can they now come back after fixing electronics and catch up the public's expense, right? We're going to request all directive issued to each department down to each individual permanent and temporary staff member dealing with the public contact, explaining policies, procedures, what if scenarios and rights to dispute water bills. What are they? Do you know what your rights are to challenge a water bill? Is the city council clear on that? Can your city councilman send out a riser, a request for an investigation, or they call it, or something to that acronym? But again, if you don't believe that you should be worried, I think you should be, because we're paying the sewer rates goes into this process, and that in itself just grabs me the wrong way, because they knowingly are ripping you off on the sewer and making you pay for it, and the rates increases, and then you got the estimates. I think it's warranting some kind of major investigation by the federal government, not by Goodnow and Associates, Mr. Caldwell. I'm still trying to figure out that one out, that here you have problems where monies are misspent and people are accused of doing something wrong, and you call Goodnow or Goodfellas, whatever and you have them to investigate it. But now on Rod Tam, he goes to Zippy's and takes his friends and himself or whatever as he's accused of, and he settled that. They chase him down like he had taken the keys to the White House. Why didn't Caldwell just say, well, based on the conditions and what the implications here and the suggestions that there's crime and on a major scale, I'm going to go to the federal government. I have now signed a letter or a complaint asking the FBI, because they're good at white-collar crime. I mean, if you hadn't looked at their history, they can put you in jail based on facts and all. And I know some of you probably got a different opinion, but somebody in the city and county of Honolulu need to go to jail. And I don't mean go over there to Club Fed, where you get to sit and eat peanuts and drink beer nuts and beer at the Club Fed in California. I'm talking about going to prison. That's what's needed in this town. And nothing else is going to work. You know, you're hiring your friends and put this person in, no expertise and what have you, but they're good at stealing. I guess that's the requirement. But anyway, we're going to ask for these things. We're going to request changes in work job descriptions and any and all documents, emails, notification, and agreements with HGA and the UPW, because if you're a quasi-government and you are also a private How does the union play in this? And is the union going to make trouble? Is the union leaving the members to hang out to dry and defend themselves?
Caller, good morning. Comment or question?
Thanks, Carol, for taking my call. I just have a question for you. Is the Board of Water Supply connected say, when water mains break? Other words, because every time a water main seems to break every other day, and you're talking about millions and millions of gallons of water, and not only the workforce that's needed to go in, city workers, and that really bothers me because certainly they're fixing the roads with the money that they're taking in from us, and like I said, they're losing so much money, I guess, and time with these water main breaks, the effects that it has with the traffic and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was, I find it ludicrous that they have they used to run these commercials on TV and the radio, advising the private owners and of homes and, condos and stuff to conserve their water. But so much water is wasted by commercial users like hotels, where you've got people coming in and leaving faucets on and, running, what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they're trying to make up that money some kind of way.
Yeah.
That's just my,
right.
opinion, and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Here's something that I'm concerned with,
and that really, and I was going to talk about it later, but the call early and talked about high rises in Kaka'ako. I don't know now. And this is just, I'm tossing this out here. You can call it silly, and it would, if it's appropriate. If it sounds silly, it might be silly. But when we build high rises, and we're going to build lots more, as the governor boasts about, he's proud of that. If you have an old system that's already taxed and already weathered and impacted by the volcanic soils and the pressures and the metal corroding and the electrolysis that's occurring in the soil from the electrical wiring poles, but to get water to the top of these facilities or these towers, is that creating a problem to the pressure down below? I don't know, but I've not heard anyone do a study or speak specifically to that. So imagine, didn't they say something about 22 of these buildings are going to be put up and higher than ever? And if so, how do you get that water to the top? Not gravity fed, unless you intend to put them on the mountain up there, a tower or a reservoir that's specifically design, it'd be taller than the high-rise, you're going to need to do something, or maybe technology. But if you put new technology on old pipes, what are we going to get? So the question is it overlooked that the high-rises and getting delivering water to them, and look at sometimes how the timing of these water main breaks. I don't know all the timings, but do they coincide with the high use in the towers and the apartments when people are coming home cooking and draining and flushing and doing all of that? Is that creating a problem? I don't know. But I haven't yet to hear one person from Board of Water Supply speak publicly to any of these things. So, yeah, the pipes, the water mains are handled by Board of Water Supply. I think that historically, I've said this, the potholes are, I think they have some of their origin in some of these repair jobs that the Board of Water Supply hurried out. And by the way, I've overlooked one thing. If you read that article in the Star Advertiser, that it's an editorial, 600-word editorial that I put in there. I wrote, here's the deal. That just touched the surface. There are more substantial concerns and issues that we need to have answered. Right now, the way they're insulated and the way the mayor has ability to appoint people there in the management, Mr. Lam, I think he, Wusugi, Sheeta, and all of those guys need to be reviewed, their history. And I know when you put the name engineer, the title engineer, you're not to be questioned. Well, I question anybody. I'll question Jack and the Beanstalk, and I wasn't there. Because if something's wrong, something's wrong. When senior citizens and others, and the ones that can afford it, being ripped off by your government without having to answer to you or give you an explanation how they are able to steal from you, or maybe it's a legitimate cost, but they can't explain it. They won't bother to explain it. So that raises a question. So we want to know, back to these lists of things that I'm asking, to try to sort through this, how many service holders have incurred a disruption of service since the AMR system went into effect, basically had their water turn off, or were warned of having your water turn off? How many of those as a result of bills that were computer generated? So in other words, you were stressed, you had your water turned off, you were threatened, but it was all based on a faulty billing process called the computer estimate. Wouldn't it be shameful if you struggled and you had the money to pay it, but your water was turned off because they overcharged you? So we're going to look at the responsible parties in this process. Any job hiring freeze directive issued since 2001 by Board of Water Supply and issued by Board of Water Supply managers. I believe that somehow through this process and being able to appoint the directors and managers of that facility, the mayor and other politicians get a shot at having free money delivered to them or having free staff to campaign for them or do things. I'm going to take that liberty to make that claim or suggest that, because they're not transparent and they're not willing to talk, and all they do is give you a big smoke screen. I don't like smoke. I can see through it. So staff levels for all Board of Water Supply departments prior to 2000, or when the AMR went in online, prior to and following the layoff of meter readers, auditors, investigators, customer service, billing, etc., how many in each of the above levels as of June 15, 2013? Sound like a lot of questions, but unless they're able to answer them or willing to present this, and we're going to give them the same list, and let's watch and see how much nonsense occurs and how they're going to be evasive and evade you and getting back to us. So we want a breakdown of the staff by HGA unionized, HGA union management, UPW temporary consultants, previously employed, now consultants. Now that's another trick. You work, you were on the system that failed, and they'd bring you back and hire you as a consultant. If the system failed, why on earth would we need to hire the guy who implemented the system and bring him back as a consultant? Does that make sense? Unless that person who's now as a consultant knew the ripoff, and he or she knows how to continue to conceal it.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hey, Carol, don't you know we need confidentiality? We can't just be letting the public know what's going on. I mean, if we do that, then we won't have confidentiality, and then we'll have to tell the truth.
And who are you? Oh, you're confidential?
Well, there's that, I mean, I hear that all the time, you know.
Of course.
At a homeless place, I mean, everything had to be confidential, you know. And
yeah.
They can't reveal things, and you know.
Well, that's what I tried to portray in the article this morning, is that if you bother to ask why you're screwing us and ripping us off, we're going to charge you more.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll be motivated to. I don't know if it's a punishment or it's a means of hiding, but don't ask, because if you ask, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, right.
You know, so anyway, it's a system that's flawed, brother, and I think with intent it's flawed by design.
Oh, of course. I mean that's the way they get away with everything, you know.
Yeah, all of the revenue generators in this state, in this city, I should say, we'll restate that. You take the landfill, if God only knows what goes on there.
Oh, my gosh.
In the $90 range to dump a ton of trash. Where does that money go? Who's managing it? Why do they need to manage it and hand it out to a private entity? And why do we need city workers other than to deliver the trash up there if we are hiring it out? How much do they get paid? Let's go to Covanta. Sure. Let's go over there, resource recovery. How much money is the taxpayer really making and saving when we put three boilers in? Do we have control, semi-autonomous? What are we losing here? So I think we're working for the man. That's what it's about. I think the plantation still exists here. And you get the Lunars and the overseers like the Garcias, the Ernie Martins, who would have never been nothing.
Right.
But they've learned to pay homage and respect and pave the way for people who want to rip us off.
Yeah, and then make sure they get paid in return.
It pays well. You become a tentacle or an appendage of a system, a corrupt system.
You can go to $200 golfing.
You can go golfing and write some eloquent statement of a disclaimer that I'm not, you know, in the interest of being open and transparent, whatever this thing, this mantra that Nestor Garcia, it's rather fitting, is you know. But nonetheless, we're losing at the faucet. That's the key. But anyway, I wanted to finish it.
I was going to say I remember so well this Darlene Hine that's from the Waikiki Health Center that's no longer there, but she was. She was for, I mean, we were just asking questions. We wanted to know where $1 million+ went for that homeless shelter, and we couldn't, and she says, well, it's confidentiality. We just can't tell you.
Right.
I said, wait a minute. We're the consumers of your service. We need to know where every penny of this money is going, and it seems like a lot of it is like disappearing in thin air, you know, it's going to us, you know. And then she just gave me kind of a dirty look and say, well, we know what we're doing, you know.
Well, this reminds me, I equate it to the farm or the immigrant workers, and when they don't have a say, and their overseers tell them, okay, they get their, we have 1,000 cases of fruits, certain fruit to deliver to the market. Let's say a company wants to buy and we need them now. You don't have time to sit down and say, are you available? The Lunars, the Garcias and the Overseers and the Ernie Martins get that order, that work order, and then they crack the whip. And once they deliver that 1,000 cases of fruits and vegetables, they get rewarded handsomely. That's not to say now that they force the workers to go out there with didn't get their lunch breaks or didn't get water. They need to fill that order. So this is what's happening. The Ernie Martins and the Nestor Garcias are not incorporating in their thoughts that their actions, while serving a higher deity in the enterprise, he's screwing half the people that whence he came, the same culture, the same economic level, right? Those people are being impacted, and it doesn't even fall on their radar. This is the real crime. Stealing money, that's something that's been with us a long time. Being insensitive and knowing you came. It was just recently our people were in the plantations here on this island.
Of course.
And they get up and then they impact their decisions and their service to the higher God.
They forget where they come from. You know, I think.
I don't think they forget where they come from. They always will be reminded of that. You are you're owned by them, and you're loaned by them. Ernie Martin and Nestor Garcia will never ever, because if you don't think that's true, they would have been open and upfront and transparent about their actions. But they conceal them. So that tells me they hide from the people, from the community in which they serve, and they serve a bigger entity in the enterprise. So
that's
shame
on that.
But anyway.
So bad. Yeah. Anyway, have a good day.
All right. Aloha. Okay. But anyway, we're looking for this breakdown on the consultants. For consultants, what were they formerly employees or employed doing? We're interested in name, what they used to do at Border Water Supply. Was it related to AMR?
a former rate of pay, bonuses, whether they are collecting EUTF pension, and what is the consulting package accompanied by a job description, time and motion reports, all receipts, expenses. What are they getting for expenses as a consultant and when they travel and when they go to the meetings on behalf of who administers the customer care currently? That's what we really want to know. Is it Susan Uesugi, who was part of the bringing in these AMRs, or she was there aboard DWS? What was the relationship to the previous development of AMR program? All contracts and understandings and formal proposals and bids for original AMR system, a lobbying notes and memorandums of understandings and vendor assurances with regard to the life of the hardware, its maintenance schedule, and other projected costs for a 10 to 15 year period. And this is the same for the CCNB. So if you want to know what's happening to your money and why you pain when you open your boil water supply bill, these are the things that are not available. They won't make them available. These are the things that I ask you, if you're interested, and I think this is one we all share, contact your city council. Let's find someone amongst them that's willing and conscientious enough to initiate some review, initiate an independent audit, and be willing to file a complaint with the Attorney General or the FBI. Because I believe that if we allow this practice to continue, a lot of us are going to be hit hard. And I want to know what is happening when they deliver the money to the city for the sewer. What's happening? But anyway, this whole process is scary. And I'm dealing with the situation here now that I've written a UIPA request. I sent it in originally. They never responded. One earlier one with questions, they responded and rather timely. But the second one that I sent in, I never received an acknowledgement that they received it. I sent another request to tickle them and say, hey, you know, I'm sending this request. What's happening? What gives? Nothing. Then out of the wild blue yonder, I get a call from one lady who's saying, well, you need to send in your request. Well, what do you mean I need to send it in again? Because you should have the original. Well, I don't know anything about that. Well, if you don't know anything about it, how would you know that I sent one in? Well, a couple of weeks go by and I didn't get anything, and now I'm in receipt of another letter from Bruno Burgo is her name, and she's telling me, just to give you an example, your request to the Board of Water Supply for information on the customer care and billing system. The Board of Water Supply is formally responding to your request for copies of all Board of Water Supply emails regarding problems with the recently installed customer care and billing CCCB system. And you contacted the Board of Water Supply on March 11th, which isn't true. I contacted them. They contacted me in calling back when I asked, where is my information? But they're so prolific and great in writing back. Why don't you expend this energy in just getting the answers? You know what it is we want. But we're going to revamp and redo the request, send it in to them, and then see what it is that they're hiding. But again, I know this all sounds like a theory and paranoia, but the reality is there was a system where $30 million was spent or more. That's what they admit to, for a system that was to fix everything about the system. It was going to make things easy. Guy could drive by your house. It would send a signal by radio waves, and bang, you'd have it. Well, that didn't work. And now they tell you that entire system was dependent upon batteries. And the big lie that they advanced was that the batteries were going to last for 10 years. I ask all of you to go and look at any radio that you've left and accidentally left the batteries in for a year, year and a half, and go back and see what happened. Usually, I find just the other day some video equipment that I had, and knucklehead that I am, I left the batteries in there, and the batteries burst and leaked. And this was in a closed, cool system internally in the house. And so imagine a battery lasting for 10 years that's in a hole, outdoors, in the moist areas, rats, roaches, crickets, and everything else, and mud, and they're going to last for 10 years. But if you were to go to the website, just Google the life expectancy of AA batteries and see what you find. Maximum they talk about is 5 years, something like that, depending on the brand. So where do we get the 10 years? And so when they went out there and started fixing these batteries, what happened? Who goes out and repair the batteries, put the battery? He spent, Mr. Lam said he spent $1.2 million to place batteries, but you only got two people, or how many people you got out there repairing these batteries? So something's wrong here, folks. What it is that the CC and B system is quite revealing. If they release that information and were honest about it, we'll find that there is fraud, and that this computer estimate is nothing but a fraudulent practice perpetrated on the people here in this city. And that's all I got to say for right now. But, again, if you want to look at greater details, go to the staradvertiser.com, and you can see my article there that we wrote up, put in. And some of you express interest in it and amazement. But they do print quite a bit of stuff. But we'll see you next week. And thanks for joining in. I hope that we can reduce those bills. And happy Father's Day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show. right here at KWAI Honolulu.